Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord, Text 10. Na hi asyasti priya kaschin na priya spa paro api va eka sarva diyam drashta. Kartrina guna doshayo na hyasyasti priya kaschin na priya svaparo piva eka sarva diyam drashta. Katrinam gunadoshayaho nahyas yasti priya kaschin na priya svaparopiva eka sarvadiyam drashta. Katrinam gunadoshayaho nahyasyasti priya kaschin na priya svaparopiva eka sarvadiyam drashta. Katrinam gunadoshayaho yes, yes, priya kaschin. Yes, aparo piva. Sarva diyam drashta. Inam guna dosayo. Vaishnavis. Yasyasti priyakastin. Yasvaropiva. Sarvadiyam drashta. Srinam gunadoshayo. Nahyasyasti priyakastin. Na priya svaparopiva ekam sarvadiyam drashta karchinam gunadoshayaho na not he indeed asya to the living entity asti there is priyaha dear. Kashchit, someone. Na, not. Apriha, not dear. Swaha, own. Paraha, other. Api, also. Va, or. Ekaha, the one. Sarvadiyam, of the varieties of intelligence. Drashta, the seer. Kartrinam, of the performers. Gunadoshayaho, of right and wrong activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For the living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers, or mischief-mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. Purport. As explained in the previous verse, the living entity has the same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he has them in minute quantities because he is a small particle, sukshma, whereas the Supreme Lord is the all-pervading and great. For the Supreme Lord, there are no friends, enemies, or relatives, for he is completely free from all the disqualifications of ignorance that characterize the conditioned souls. On the other hand, he is extremely kind and favorable to his devotees, and he is not at all satisfied with persons who are envious of his devotees, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu na me dveshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. Quote, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. End quote. The Supreme Lord has no enemy or friend, but he is inclined toward a devotee who always engages in his devotional service. Similarly, elsewhere in the Gita, chapter 16, text 19, the Lord says, Tanaham tvishita kruran samsareshu naradaman Shipanya Jashram Ashuban Asarus Eva Yoni Shu. Quote, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence and to various demoniac species of life. End quote. The Lord is extremely antagonistic toward those who are envious of his devotees. To protect his devotees, the Lord sometimes has to kill their enemies. For example, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord had to kill his enemy, Hiranyakashipu, although Hiranyakashipu attained salvation because of being killed by the Lord. Since the Lord is the witness of everyone's activities, he witnesses the activities of the enemies of his devotees, and he is inclined to punish them. In other cases, however, he simply witnesses what the living entities do and gives the results of one's sinful or pious actions. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this topic of friends and enemies is quite complicated. I mean, here it seems very complicated that Krishna says he's equal to everyone, but Prabhupada says he's extremely antagonistic to those who are envious of his devotees. So it's can be a little bit puzzling. There are different ways to understand, you know, this concept of friends and enemies. In material consciousness, the conditioned souls are very much inclined to see everything in terms of friends and enemies. And this is very much connected with the concept Aham Meti, I and mine. People are divided by the conditioned souls into friends, enemies, or neutral parties based on how they relate to the conditioned soul's particular interest. In material consciousness, the conditioned soul is thinking in terms of I and mine, and he's judging everything in terms of his or her own self-interest. You know, Hiranyakashipu is an example of a great demoniac person, and he had his son Prahlad Maharaj, who was a devotee, really, but he wanted to train him in the art of understanding, you know, friends and enemies and how to deal with them, how to defeat or pacify enemies, how to reward one's friends and keep them loyal. These are very important skills for a materialist, especially a demoniac materialist. But Prahlad Maharaj, he refused to accept that kind of instruction. As a matter of fact, he told his father, you should give up all this politics and diplomacy and seeing everyone in terms of friends and enemies, because really everyone is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was instructing his father in that way. So this is the mood of a devotee. You know, when I was young, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up among military people and diplomatic people. You know, my father was a military officer, so I grew up among those kinds of people. And when they would ask me, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say, oh, I want to go into the diplomatic service or one of the intelligence services or the military, something like that. So I went to one of the top schools for training people for those kinds of careers, you know, the George Washington University School of International Relations. But and in the end, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll go into the diplomatic service. But I even as just a materialist before I became a devotee, I became a little bit disillusioned with that, because then I understood I would have to be, you know, whoever my country decided was an enemy, I would have to consider an enemy and deal with them appropriately on that basis. And somehow that didn't seem right to me at the time. And then I came in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada said, these temples are like embassies of the spiritual world. You know, and he would also sometimes talk about a United Nations of the spiritual world, where, you know, he would say, we're accepting everyone into our society, no matter what their nationality is, no matter what their race is, no matter what their background is, because everyone ultimately is a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, Jivara Srupahoy, Krishnara Nitya Das. By constitution, everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. Mamaivam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, Krishna is explaining, everyone is part and parcel of me. So that seemed to be a better vision. And Srila Prabhupada mentions this in his, you know, preface to the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, he explains why he's writing, you know, his translation and commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says it's because the world is actually looking to become one in peace, friendship, and harmony. And they're not able to do it, you know, because they have the wrong philosophy. You know, they're trying to follow the philosophy of modern materialistic science, which isn't doing a very good job for providing a platform for everybody being living in peace and harmony with each other. You know, if we look at what modern materialistic science is telling us about ourselves as human beings, it's saying basically you're machines made of matter in competition with each other for survival. It's a pretty grim picture of reality. Like, there's a famous English evolutionist named Richard Dawkins, you know, who famously said, we are survival machines, robot vehicles blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. So we're just robot machines made of molecules in competition with each other for survival. And in that position, it's natural to think in terms of friends and enemies and competition and all of that. And so we see in the world so much competition and violence on all levels of human society. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada was proposing the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita as an alternative to this type of understanding. So, janmadyasya yataha, he mentions in the preface, it's the first mantra in the Vedanta Sutra. You know, everything is coming from the same source. So if we really understood that we're all part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we wouldn't needlessly divide ourselves into, you know, different groups on the basis of external considerations like race, nationality, political party, and so on and so forth, which is, you know, the foundation for all kinds of unnecessary conflict in the world. Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmani Gava Hashtani, Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha, Pandita Samadarshinaha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that the pandit, the wise person, sees everyone equally. Not just the human beings, but such a pandit, a wise person, will understand that even the souls in the bodies of plants and animals, you know, deserve respect. They're also part of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apare mitvastam yam prakriti vidime param jiva bhuta maha baho. There's the material energy, but then there's also this higher energy of the jivas, the living entities. It's the energy of Krishna and all living entities, whether they're in the bodies of plants, animals, or human beings, are part of that energy of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. So Pandita Samadarshanaha, the pandit will see things equally. So this is one part of this vision, but there are other aspects to it as well. You know, I mentioned the Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita is being spoken on a battlefield where there's a conflict between two parties, you know, the Pandavas and, you know, the Kurus led by Duryodhana. And at first, Arjuna is not inclined to engage in that kind of activity. He doesn't want to see things in that way, but Krishna is asking him to see things in that way, and, you know, in terms of a dharmic understanding of the different parties. So, and we're also seeing in this purport here that although Krishna does see everyone equally as his part and parcel, a spirit soul, still there is some discrimination, but it's based on the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. In other words, Krishna reciprocates with each spirit soul according to how they relate to him. Now, we might say, well, I'll be like that too. I'll look at everybody and say, ye yatamam prapadyante, you know, as anyone surrenders to me, I'll treat them accordingly. So, Krishna does it, I'll do it. But it really doesn't work like that. Krishna has the right to do it, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate. He is the actual source of everything. Ishvara parama krishna. He's the actual supreme controller. He actually does control everything in existence. And everything is actually his property. Ishvasya midam sarvam. Everything is Krishna's property. He's the supreme controller. He is the source of everything. So he has the right to establish a principle like that. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. And he doesn't discriminate. Everyone, he gives everyone free will. Everyone has the right. Nobody has any special position. Everyone has the right to become a devotee of Krishna and get the full benefit of his shelter and protection and guidance. And even if one doesn't surrender to him, he still maintains such personalities. But the point is, he is not discriminating. You know, these are my friends, these are my enemies, and based on that, I'll be, you know, he gives everyone the chance to reciprocate with him. And according to the way they reciprocate, he behaves accordingly with them. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give an example that shows how this principle can apply in, you know, the normal dealings in society. Gives the example of a judge. So many people come before a judge. Some people are awarded millions of dollars by the judge. Some people are fined millions of dollars by the judge. Some people are put in prison by the judge. But in an ideal judicial system, the judge is not doing that because of his personal friendship or inimical relationship with the parties that come before him. In an ideal system, you know, the judge isn't taking bribes or like that. He's applying the law indiscriminately. So if the judge is awarding some person $1 million in a lawsuit, it's not because that person has bribed him or the judge is friendly toward that person. It's because according to the law, the higher principle of the law, that is the result that that person deserves. And if another person is punished, it's not because the judge hates that person. It's because that person has violated a higher principle embodied in the law of the country. So the judge is being neutral to everyone. He doesn't treat anyone who comes before him as his personal friend or enemy and deal with them accordingly. Rather, he's applying the law equally to everyone who comes before him. So, of course, this all depends on the idea of there being some ideal higher principles or laws. Now, sometimes in a country, the laws or higher principles are established on the basis of selfish interests. So it may not be perfect system, but the principle is there. So if there is some ideal higher principle established by a pure authority, namely the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it is possible to for God or God's representatives to discriminate among people, not based on some prior concept of their being a friend or an enemy, but looking at them objectively, how their behavior and attitudes conform to those higher principles. So in the case of, you know, the Battle of Kurukshetra, the different parties had a different relationship to those higher principles of Dharma established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Arjuna, as a devotee of the Lord, was expected by the Lord to behave appropriately in that circumstance. As far as Arjuna was concerned, he didn't want to, he wanted to remain neutral to everyone. But Krishna wanted him to discriminate about who was following Dharma, who wasn't, and engage appropriately with those parties. So sometimes as devotees, we, as representatives of Krishna, we also have to make those kinds of discriminations. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would call someone or some category of people mudha. Namam diskritano mudha prapadyanti naradama. He would say, these materialistic, atheistic scientists, they're mudhas. Not because, he said, it's not that I'm saying it, it's Krishna saying it. So, sometimes, although as devotees we are Pandita Samadarshana, we do understand that everyone is equal. Sometimes we also have to discriminate among all of these conditioned souls as to who is behaving according to Krishna's will, according to Krishna's direction, and who is not. Although we would understand that everyone has the opportunity to do that and can ultimately come to that platform, sometimes we have to look at things in that way. There are different grades of devotees. There are Uttama Adhikaris, Madhyama Adhikaris, Kanishta Adhikaris. The Uttama Adhikaris are on the highest platform. The Madhyama Adhikaris are on the next platform. The Kanishta Adhikaris are the neophytes. So it's said, that one of the characteristics of an Uttama Adhikari is he's very fixed in this vision of everyone being equal. No friends, no enemies, making no discrimination. But for the sake of preaching, one has to make some discrimination about who is favorable to Krishna consciousness and who isn't. And even an Uttama Adhikari, if he's acting in the position of preacher, will make those kinds of distinctions. And then there are, Krishna gives direction, the Shastras give direction, how to make these discriminations. Prema Maitri Kripo Peksha. A devotee should love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendship with devotees, be merciful to the innocent, and neglect the envious. So there are discriminations that a devotee engaged in preaching on the Madhyama Adhikari platform has to make. Now, even on the pure spiritual platform, there can still be a kind of competition and party spirit. And we learn that among the gopis, there are the left-wing gopis and the right-wing gopis. There's the party headed by Radharani and the party headed by Chandravali, and they compete with each other for Krishna's affection. So Srila Prabhupada said that even in the spiritual world, there can be competition and rivalry, but it's not done in the same spirit of materialistic competition and rivalry, where there is hatred and envy of one's competitors. It's more or less on the level of what we might call good sportsmanship. For example, there may be a big tennis match, and of course the players are each trying to win, and they play their best, and ideally, when the match is over and one is won, they shake hands. There's good sportsmanship, good game, you beat me, fair and square. So and In spiritual dealings, there may also be, competition like that, but if someone has please Krishna, one devotee has pleased Krishna more than another, then that devotee will respect the other devotee. Yes, you please Krishna in such a nice way. Please instruct me so that I may learn to please Krishna in this same way. So this whole topic, you know, friends and enemies and rivalries and competition can be quite complex, but those are some thoughts about how a devotee looks at these things. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Vishaka? So the question was, we had a little microphone, but for those on the internet, the question from Vishaka Devidasi was, I mentioned in the talk the verse Yeyata Mam Prapadyante from the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says he rewards everyone accordingly. So Vishaka Mataji is pointing out that in a previous verse, it stated we're part and parcel of Krishna, so it should also apply to us. And it does apply if we apply the same standards that Krishna is using. Then we can make those kinds of discriminations. But if we are applying our own selfish standards based on our false identification with our material mind and body, and everyone does this to some extent, then they simply get entangled in various karmic reactions and remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death. But if we discriminate in the ways that Krishna says we should in terms of our dealings with others, then we're behaving properly. So it does apply. Yeyata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. If we're applying that Krishna, the standards that Krishna gives for us, then we're acting properly. But if we invent our own way of, you know, dealing with people, you know, based on our concept of friend and enemy, then it's not going to help us. Anything else? Yes, Archidam?
I'm glad you brought up this point, because it's very important to understand that although we are qualitatively one with Krishna, because we're not one quantitatively, we can't apply every verse of the Bhagavad Gita to ourselves just because Krishna is the same as me. For instance, today, the prophet quoted from the 16th chapter, Tanahan Dushatam Kruran. Krishna says, I cast them into all kinds of demoniac species. You can't do that. Who can you cast anywhere? You can't. So it's not that whatever Krishna says, that we can apply it to ourselves. We don't have the ability to cast anybody into any species. So similarly, we actually don't have the ability to award any punishment or good stuff to anybody. Everything belongs to Krishna. So whatever you'd like to give to somebody as a reward, you have to get Krishna's permission. You can't just say, well, I think this person is great and I want to give him such and such. You have to get Krishna's permission, because whatever you want to give belongs to Krishna. So we can't just say that because Krishna says something and we're qualitatively the same, then it applies to me also. That's a very dangerous mentality.
Yeah. I think I mentioned in the beginning of the talk that Krishna has a right to do that because he actually is the supreme controller, the actual owner of everything, the source of everything. So, our position is servant of Krishna. So if in service to Krishna we make the kinds of discrimination that Krishna says are appropriate for us as Krishna's servants, then we're properly situated. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.